There are mothers, daughters of God, called to motherhood, just like you, all over the world. There is a huge army, Mama. There's a huge army of us that God has raised up and continues to add to. And we are all crying out, Maranatha. We are all desiring the same vision for our families. We are all discipling our children, the next generation, and pouring into them and praying for them and instilling a love of God's word in them together. So you're not alone. I don't want you ever to think that because of course the enemy always tries to isolate us and make us feel like we're the only one struggling with these struggles, or we're the only one failing at this. That's not true. We all struggle with the same struggles, and therefore we need each other. So I want to encourage you to seek out that kind of support group and also put into place the habits that are going to keep you rooted and firm in Christ and continuing. I love the title and the words of a book of Eugene Peterson's, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. You know, it's not a sprint. It's a long obedience in the same direction. But that path is a well-worn path. There are many, many who have gone before us. And we are going down that path with linked arms together. There are many of us that want to link arms with you.
Welcome to the Homeschool Compass podcast, a show that's all about finding confidence in community and help in the wisdom of those who've gone before. I'm your host, Amy Otto, and today I have a wonderful conversation to share with you. I got to sit down with Min Hoang, who is a pastor's wife and a Charlotte Mason homeschooling mom of four. She had so much wisdom to share with us. This conversation was really rich and full of scripture. I found it so inspiring, and I hope you will too. So let's get right to it. Here is my conversation with Min Hoang.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Min. It's really great to talk to you.
It's my pleasure. I was very happy to receive the invitation. Thank you, Amy.
Of course. I know a lot of people are familiar with you already, but if someone is new to you and your family, can you tell us a little bit about your story and introduce us to your family?
Sure. So we are a Korean, Canadian, American family. I have four children. My husband is a pastor of a wonderful church, and I'm the pastor's wife, of course, and the children's ministry director there. We homeschool our four children, and they range in age from 15 down to almost 8, 3 girls and a boy. And yes, we've been homeschooling from the very beginning and loved it every step of the way.
Oh, that's so good to hear. And what led you to get started with homeschooling?
To be honest, I resolved to homeschool when I was a middle school student.
Oh, goodness.
I remember sitting in a biology class and I was thinking, if the Lord ever blesses me to become a mother in the future, I want to homeschool them. And this was, I did not know any homeschoolers. I don't know where I even got that idea. This was in Vancouver, Canada, sitting in a high school, you know, classroom. And I just don't know where that idea came from, but that stayed with me. And it's very odd because I actually wanted to be a celibate missionary, but I just had that thought. Of course, the Lord had different plans, better plans. And so when we had our first little girl, then, you know, my husband and I, we were on the same page. We both had that same desire to homeschool. And so everything began from there.
So the Lord planted that seed in your heart so early on. That's amazing. And did you discover the Charlotte Mason method right away, or did that come later?
So it was after my first child was born, and I started to just research like crazy. I'm a researcher, and we were living overseas at the time, but thank you, Lord, for the internet. I was able to, in the wee hours of the night, with my baby in my arms, nursing, and I would be scouring the internet for different educational philosophies. And so, you know, of course, all the major ones were coming up. And then I discovered the name Charlotte Mason. And I was like, what is this? Who is this? And just blew my mind when I read some of her writings. I think it was, I don't know if it was a blog or if it might have been Ambleside Online when I first started to read some of her writings. And then I was thinking, I need to get her books, her original books. And so at that time, of course, they were out of print. But I managed to find in those online used bookstores, the little pink ones that the Andreolas had printed, which were out of print, but I was able to find them one at a time and get them shipped to me. And I would devour them as soon as I would get them. So that's where it all began. And I felt like a fire in my bones because I felt like she was articulating what was on my heart and what was on my mind. But I just did not have the words or the understanding to be able to put into words. And it's not just the philosophy, which is derived from and rooted in scripture, in a biblical worldview, in the gospel, but the fact that she was able to take the philosophy, take the principles, and then show us the how, the method, that was what blew my mind. Because, you know, I read so many other educational philosophies and it was all well and good. And I was able to say, yes, amen, that's what I want. But then what do I do when I wake up in the morning? What do I do with my children? And she is so inspirational and very rooted in biblical principles, but at the same time, so pragmatic and practical. And I love that about her. And so I just was like all in with Charlotte Mason as soon as I discovered her.
Oh, I love that. Can you give us an example maybe of one of the practical methods that kind of grabbed you right away when you were in those early stages thinking, what do I do during the day with my kids? Was there anything in particular that you can point to?
Yes. So right off the bat, principle number one is that children are born persons. And I think as Christian moms, we all agree with that. We all have that understanding that every human being is made in the image of God. And it's not just about physical features, but our qualities and our characteristics and God's, you know, imagination and creativity and the way that he gives us knowledge and understanding. We say, yes, Lord, I agree. But then we'll turn around and begin to impose and infringe upon the personhood of our child by, for example, doing things for them that they are capable of doing for themselves and wanting to do for themselves. But we impose on doing things to them in our own way and forgetting to involve them, forgetting to interact with them and see what is going on in their heart and in their mind. So for example, when our child is like 6 years old, you know, even 5 years old, and they're able to put on their own shoes and socks. I know that seems so simple, but I've seen it so many times where we sit them down and we put those things on for them when they could do it for themselves and gain the confidence and just a feeling of dignity to be able to do those things for themselves. The thing is, we don't usually put that together with principle number one, but I see it played out in just everyday things like that. And then, of course, the very common example that we give, which is giving like mindless worksheets or, you know, macaroni, you know, gluing type of things just to sort of get them busy and out of our way, quote unquote. All of those things that we may do, not just in the home, but I saw it a lot in churches too, in Sunday school for children, sort of these babysitting type of tactics while the real worship is happening in the sanctuary with just the adults. But children are born persons means that they are very, very capable of knowing God and experiencing his presence and understanding his word, because that knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit. And so recognizing that and giving plenty of opportunity for our children to explore and to discover the fact that their soul also longs for God, I think of all those types of situations and scenarios, both at home and in the church. I have to bring in the church because I'm a pastor's wife and children's ministry director. So I'm always thinking also about what is happening in our local churches and how we are treating our precious children, even from a very young age.
Yeah, I'm so curious. This isn't on our list of questions, but does the Charlotte Mason method impact the way you conduct children's ministries at your church? Is that something you've been able to implement?
Yes. And actually, Amy, I've done a couple of interviews for a Delectable Education on it. I have also I also have the recording on bringing Charlotte Mason philosophy and methods into the church for CMI, for the Charlotte Mason Institute. And that recording, they allowed me to share for free. So that's on my website for anybody who's interested. And I go into detail about how I go about planning and how I go about also training my my teachers who have never heard of Charlotte Mason. And of course, the parents, and then the methods that we use in our classrooms during Sunday school hour.
That's really helpful. We'll be sure to link to all of that in the show description, because I know people will be interested to hear more about that. Can you give us a little picture into what your homeschool days look like at the moment? I know probably every day is different and every season is different, but people love to hear kind of how your day flows, if you have anything you wanted to share about that.
So our homeschool days, yes, every day is different because I think especially when you get into the upper years, into middle school and high school, there are outside commitments that creep in. And so actually one of the things that I've had to be very careful about and very prayerful about is knowing when to say yes and knowing when to say no. Because, you know, we all want everything for our children. We want all the good things. So being prayerful about asking the Lord which ones are right for us at this season of our lives, since one commitment for one child actually impacts the whole family, right? So there are days where we have some online school for my older two. I have people, fellow Charlotte Mason parents who do a fantastic job doing some live online classes for certain subjects. And I felt that for at least my older two, especially my eldest, actually, it was really important for me to include that into her school days because she doesn't have any fellow Charlotte Mason students her age in our area. We don't have a lot of homeschool families in our area. And in fact, when we first returned to the United States, I had a hard time finding any. So it just is a way for her to be able to see that there are others like her and to be able to develop some friendships with fellow Charlotte Mason homeschool teenagers her age. And so we do have a few days a week that are like that. But for the most part, our regular day school days, we begin in the morning, and because I have a wide range between my four children, I may be working on some lessons with my younger ones, while my older ones are now much more independent. And I have to say, that's the beauty, I think, of a Charlotte Mason education is from a quite an early age, you begin to instill in them this desire for self-education. I think because of this knowledge that there is no education apart from self-education, that they begin to take ownership of it. And so there isn't so much, I don't feel like there's spoon feeding. I was public schooled all my life. So I remember, you know, it felt like spoon feeding right? In the public schools. But with the Charlotte Mason education, there isn't a point, especially when you start from the very beginning, where that hunger for knowledge is dulled, and instead you're constantly kindling it. And so they're able to, especially as you put in the right tools, continue with that hunger and with that drive to self-educate. They want to know. They want knowledge. My son is always saying, he prays, asks the Lord for knowledge and for wisdom. And in fact, all of my children, their Korean names, the very first syllable is wisdom. And they know that wisdom comes from God. So I set them up with their own timetable very similar to what Charlotte Mason used, the weekly timetables that the students had. So each of my children have their own timetable. And what I do is just, you know, print out their individual timetables, which is just it looks like a weekly schedule. And they have it on a clipboard. And I do it a term at a time, because each term, even if I had planned the whole school year before in late spring or early summer, you know, I like to constantly be assessing and be in prayer to see if the Lord has anything that needs to be changed. So I do just to print out 12 of them. One term for us is 12 weeks, the 12th week being the exam week. And they just work through that. And there's a place on their timetable for them to mark the pages that they've read and to check off. That checkbox is really just so that they feel good. Mm-hmm. I don't like to check the boxes. And in the midst of it, we have our oral narrations and written narrations for my older ones. And we do start off the school morning with I call it family liturgy time. And so just going through the Bible together. I found that especially as they get older, the gap between my teenagers and my younger ones, it feels wider and wider. And so this past year, last school year, I felt the need to just sort of tighten the bolts and make sure that we have that time together in the morning to start off together. And so that, you know, before everybody is off doing their independent studies, we have that time of just knitting our hearts together as a family. So we enjoy poetry during that time. I might read something from church history, an autobiography. We also, you know, sing our hymn. I've been trying to also incorporate some Korean language study during that time too. So every day it's a little bit different. Bible lesson always being first, since it's, as Charlotte Mason says, and I agree with her, it's the chief of lessons. And then what I read after that will vary from day to day, but that's how we start. And so I don't know if that that gives an idea. I'm sorry, I didn't go in chronological order.
Oh, that's okay. That's really beautiful. That's very helpful. And I know people will ask about the online classes for your teenagers. Do you want to tell people how you do that?
Yes. So we have been really enjoying Climbing Higher Math with Tabitha and Dr. Julie Ryle. My kids are still in algebra with Tabitha, so they haven't experienced Dr. Julie Ryle yet, but they will next year, next school year. And also, my daughter has been enjoying, I think it's called Living Literature with Jonathan Kaiser. He is the husband of Emily Kaiser of Delectable Education. And it's high school literature. Charlotte Mason, using the Charlotte Mason method, and she has been loving it. And she's just yesterday night, she was reading to me some of the poetry she's been writing for that class, and it's phenomenal. Oh, I have to say.
Yes. Oh, that's really exciting.
Oh, I have to share one more. I'm sorry. Also, we have been loving Angela Reed's Latin classes. We've been having Latin with her for, I think, past 2 or 3 years. And she just has a wonderful way with Latin, making it a really real living education. And it's funny because I used to think, you know, my husband and I had a secret language, you know, in Korean, being fluent in Korean. But now my son and my daughter have a secret language. They speak to each other in Latin. What are you talking about? I have to learn.
Oh, no, that's too funny. Oh, that's really good to hear, though. I think sometimes people don't realize that there are online options available that are in alignment with the Charlotte Mason principles. So it's great to hear that more and more those are becoming available as a resource for families.
Yes, it's excellent. It's a land flowing with milk and honey now.
Yes. I wonder if there's anything in particular the Lord has been leading you to focus on in your homeschool this year. Is there anything that stands out?
I think it's basically what I mentioned earlier about, because of the seemingly larger increasing gap between my children as they're getting older, I just felt like all the more the importance of ensuring we get that quality time together, learning together. So not just, you know, hanging out and having fun, but having that time of learning together and, you know, seeking knowledge from the Lord's hand together. So we've been having to just protect that time, I think, even more so. As I said, there are so many requests and there's so many great opportunities that as they get older, seep in. But having to just, for me as the mother, to be able to, you know, keep my boundaries and protect the gate of our home, say no to some of those really wonderful things and opportunities in order for us to have that time. My children also love the poetry tea time, especially my little ones. I ask them at the end of every term, like, what is something that you hope that we could do more of next term? And twice now, that's been the answer. They want to have more poetry tea time in the afternoons together. So that's what I feel like we need to continue to protect. And I don't know, going forward, I see that it could get harder, but, you know, Lord have mercy. help me to be wise and help me to have eyes to see, to really stick to our vision as a family and make sure that everything that comes our way, I could line up and, you know, make decisions and be discerning that they align with the vision God gave us for our family. So that's what I need to do. I need to stick to that and do more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is a work of discernment with the Holy Spirit's help. There are so many things available to us now in this day and age as homeschoolers that it's not a matter of deciding between good things and bad things. It's often good things and great things that we're trying to weigh out. So that's very tricky.
Exactly.
Well, I know one of the distinctives of the Charlotte Mason method that people often mention is this idea of mother culture. And I've really appreciated what you have shared on your beautiful Instagram page and elsewhere about mother culture. Can you tell us a little bit about what mother culture is and how you've seen that play out in your own life?
Mm-hmm, sure. For me, mother culture is ensuring that I am first abiding in Christ and doing what it takes to make sure that I am. I know what it feels like to run on empty and to try to do things by my own strength. And I am miserable. My children are miserable. So for me, taking that time to ensure I start the day off right with first reminding myself who I am in Christ and receiving from Him, being filled by Him, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because I cannot do things on my own strength. And then being able to remind myself of this truth throughout the day. So I have like three key times during the day where I do this. Obviously, in the morning before the day begins, that's the first thing I do. I have to sit at the Lord's feet and just immerse myself in His presence. Usually when I wake up, there are times when I do wake up with, you know, a prayer or a scripture on my mind, but most mornings I wake up and I'm groggy. So I need that time to get oriented and to just find myself in reality, in God's truth. And so I spend time in His word. Obviously that's key, right? To nourish my soul. And then I also have a time in the afternoon, usually around after lunchtime, right after lunchtime. So each of my children, they have their quiet time too, not quiet time as in the devotional time. They have that in the morning as well before they come out of their rooms. But in the afternoon, we do have some time to quietly be working on things. And so during that time, it could be anywhere from reading a book to just, you know, walking around outside our yard to painting. I love to paint. I love to just draw and sketch. And sometimes I'll write. Writing is really hard for me, but sometimes I will write. Just doing things that are ensuring I am meditating on his word day and night. I always come back to Psalm 1. That is actually one of the Psalms that I had to make sure my children memorize, and that the children in our Sunday school also memorize, because in that first Psalm, it's not a mistake, it's the first Psalm, mamas, is the key to a blessed life, he tells us right off the bat. And so to be like that tree, I just imagine being that tree, I need to ensure that my roots are being nourished by the streams of living water. And so I have that time in the afternoon, and then before I go to bed at night, I need to reflect. I need to just bring before the Lord all of my heart burdens. I have a hard time falling asleep at night. So I need to get all of those thoughts and burdens out. I like to journal. For me, writing things out gets it out of my brain. So I'll write prayers in pen and ink. I need to do that. We all have things that we need to repent of that happen during the day, or prayer needs, certain worries and anxieties that may have gotten us entangled. So that for me is mother culture. That for me is mother culture, to really become more aligned with what God is doing and with what he is saying. So I hope that helps. It really is not just one thing. That's why I don't want to say, a lot of times we might see that it's reading or going on a nature walk or doing something creative and artistic like painting, but it's whatever is going to get your heart centered on Christ again and again and again. And that could be different for each of us. You know, some of us it's gardening. I wish it was for me. I don't have a green thumb like my mom. and some of us, it's like making a beautiful tablescape, you know, for our family. And so whatever it may, sometimes it's like sourdough, that beautiful, perfect sourdough that comes out of the oven. I love that too. But whatever it is for you, leaning into that and carving out intentional time for it in your day. So I actually have it in my mother's timetable. Just as I make a timetable for my children, I make one for myself. And in Life-Giving Motherhood, the membership that I facilitate, that's one of the first things that we do, is to create a mother's timetable and ensure that we have that mother culture. We call it mother nurture in Life-Giving Mother, to nurture and nourish our souls, because otherwise the whole day is going to get away from us. And then we're going to just end up feeling like we're at the end of our rope and frazzled, right? So we recognize that my time belongs to the Lord, and my days belong to the Lord. My weeks belong to the Lord. And being able to not just say it with my words, but show it in my actions to the Lord, that I am offering my day. I am offering all of who I am and what you've enabled me to be capable of doing in a day, I want to give to you. So it's not a slave. Like, we're not, how do I say this? It's not a slave driver, the timetable. It's a tool. It's simply a tool to help to remind us throughout the day. I don't know about you. I need constant reminding. I get distracted easily. So it's a visual reminder, which means that it needs to be on a visual place, whether if you're in the kitchen a lot, put it in the kitchen. If it's in your, you know, homeschool dining room, put it there, but put your timetable in a visual place. And then also send one to your husband so that he knows what you're doing, and then he could pray for you. And that's how you could, as one body, be supporting and helping and covering each other in prayer. So that's how I do it, because otherwise it'll just be speech and talk and empty words. So we focus a lot on habits and being intentional with practical habits, all the things that we say we want.
Yes. And it's so good for our children to see us pursuing those things, to know that art and music and poetry and nature and scripture aren't just items on a to-do list that we're giving them because they're in school. And when they're done with school, all of those things can fall by the wayside. We're pursuing those because those are the things that nourish our souls. We're made to draw close to God through those things. So I think it's really powerful just in the modeling aspect as well.
Yes, living out the kind of life that you want your children to have as an adult as well, right? Like we are teaching them during this age and discipling them for a certain kind of life, a life oriented to God. And so for us to be able to live that out and show them that it is possible to have that kind of life, that is such a blessing that we could do that. I think it's such an honor.
Mm-hmm. I know as homeschool moms, we can be prone to discouragement in certain ways, and there are lies that creep into our heads. I don't know if it's Sally Clarkson that says that a mom alone with her kids, kind of isolated from community, is very susceptible to the lies of the evil one. And we have to guard ourselves against these thoughts and feelings of, I'm failing my children, I'm not good enough. Do you have any ideas for us as we're wrestling with that, how we can recognize that those are legitimate emotions that we might be facing, but that God doesn't call us to stay in that place? He wants to equip us to turn to him and to his truth in those moments.
Yes, I think you said it. He wants us to turn to him in those moments. But I think that's with any lie, any attack of the enemy. We need to fight it with the word of God. The word of God is our sword. And so one of the things that I've done, and I don't know if you remember those days, Amy, with the printers that had the dots along the side.
Yes.
And they would move slowly, and then you'd have to tear off those sides. I used to type out scripture and print them out and glue them onto construction paper of different colors to try to make them prettier and put them all over the place, like even in the bathroom, just wherever I would be, anywhere that I could see it, on the covers of my school books, you know, on the inside cover of my textbooks. I just put them wherever I could see, because again, like I said, I'm so forgetful, and there is no greater weapon than the truth. And so we really need to put into visible places the word of God, and really meditate and memorize the word of God, because we need to start from a place of first, you know, remembering God, remembering who he is, and remembering his promises to you and what he says about you. I know it's so easy for our own voice to get louder, especially our own critical voice to get louder than the voice of God. But we need to tell that voice to quiet down and listen to what the Lord says. We find ourselves probably having to have these kinds of similar talks with our own children, right? When they get hard on themselves, you know, we need to also take the same medicine, right? When they get hard on themselves, we tell them to speak the truth of God over them. And we do it for them, right? We tell them, you are a child of God. You are loved by God. Jesus Christ, he has redeemed you. He delights in you. You know, he has covered you. You are clothed in Christ. And so just speaking those words of truth to yourself, and even asking your children to say it to you too, because they're great at that. When you're needing it, being open with them. Mommy's not feeling so good today. Mommy's feeling down today. And letting them speak those words of truth over you as well. And remembering that, you know, you are God's delight. You are his joy. He says so. He says that he sings over you with delight. And, you know, he prizes you and cherishes you so much that he gave his son for you. So just remembering our identity in Christ and allowing God's voice and his words to be louder than our own. That's what I pray for myself. And I pray for every mama who's listening to this. Don't listen to those lies and just counter them with the word of truth. There is no more powerful weapon than the living word of God. And I encourage you to speak it aloud, even in front of your children, maybe especially in front of your children, and also to your husband, you know, remembering the promises that you made to each other, to hold on to and safekeep God's vision for one another and for your family together. And so continuing to speak scripture and have it before you always. I think also in relation to that, ensure you have a group of fellow homeschool moms whom you could go to and ask for prayer. Even, you know, we have so many of those apps now, right? Signal and WhatsApp and Voxer, having a group on there so that you would be able to just in those moments of weakness, which we all have, go on and say, I just need some prayer right now. You don't even have to give details. Just ask for prayer. We need each other. We need that support. And none of us should be doing this journey alone. So I hope that helps. And that's where, you know, life-giving motherhood came from, by the way, because we need each other. And just that also the vision of knowing that there are mothers, daughters of God called to motherhood, just like you, all over the world. There is a huge army, Mama. There's a huge army of us that God has raised up and continues to add to. And we are all crying out, Maranatha. We are all desiring the same vision for our families. We are all discipling our children, the next generation, and pouring into them and praying for them and you know, instilling a love of God's word in them together. So you're not alone. I don't want you ever to think that because of course the enemy always tries to isolate us and make us feel like we're the only one struggling with these struggles or we're the only one failing at this. That's not true. We all struggle with the same struggles. Everything under the sun is the same old thing for centuries. And therefore, we need each other. So I want to encourage you to seek out that kind of support group and also put into place the habits that are going to keep you rooted and firm in Christ and continuing, right? As the Lord tells us, we need to continue. I love the title and the words of a book of Eugene Peterson's, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. You know, it's not a sprint. It's a long obedience in the same direction. But that path is a well-worn path. There are many, many who have gone before us, and we are going down that path with linked arms together. There are many of us that want to link arms with you.
Yes, thank you for sharing that, Min. That's really helpful and really encouraging. We always reach out to the Homeschool Compass community on Instagram and ask if they have any questions for you specifically. And we got a couple of questions for you, Min. The okay. First one was, what has a Charlotte Mason education looked like for your kids in middle school and high school? And did you notice a big jump when you made the transition from middle school to high school?
I'm not sure if it was a really big jump, but I think the only thing, as I mentioned, was the gap, you know, between my children, the older ones and the younger ones. It felt to me, at least, it felt like it had widened. And so, as I mentioned earlier, you know, doing what I can in the scheduling of our days to ensure we have that time of learning together. And then also in terms of friendships, because as our children get older, right, the need and the importance and value of friendships, it seems to grow. And so that is important in ensuring even that one friend. I know a lot of moms have been really struggling and heartbroken over their children not having too many friends in their homeschool circle. But, you know, it really just takes that one friend, and the Lord will answer your prayer. Just want to give that encouragement as we pray specifically for that. One bosom buddy, Diana Berry friend. But that is a growing need as they get older, and making sure that we make time for them to develop those friendships. And we pray that they are spiritual friendships with families and children with the same values. And then also just the opportunities that are available suddenly more so for our teenagers, for our high school students. And so being able to, again, be discerning with which opportunities are the right ones, not just for your child, but for your whole family, because your whole family will be affected. And so what I have to do again and again is to just sort of filter through those opportunities and make sure that they're in alignment with our family vision. So I highly recommend having a family vision that you've worked at and prayed through together with your husband, and making sure that you return to that again and again. And the Lord will change it, you know, as your kids get older, but to make sure that it is aligned with all of the commitments that you are saying yes to. I know that probably the moms are also asking in terms of like difficulty of the subjects or the workload. There is a greater workload for the high school years. Of course, there are more subjects included, but do not fret. If you have been following, whether it be the Charlotte Mason method or something else, but if you have been continuing to be faithful and diligent in growing with your children and having them continue to grow in their skills as learners, then they are ready for it and they will surprise you. Remember that He promises to bring to completion to the day of Christ everything that He has started. And that means everything, including the things that they're learning in terms of the knowledge of God's world. And so, you know, the sciences, history, geography, all of that, this is all part of God's world and His creation. And so all of that knowledge comes from His hand. He has been equipping and growing your child step by step. They will be ready. And you could remind them of that truth. If they feel apprehensive, they will be ready, because not only, you know, the track record of what they've been learning so far, but when He calls, He always equips, right? And He will give the grace to you and to your students, your children, to be able to continue to have a larger plate of food from the feast, as Charlotte Mason likes to call it, right? Spreading of the feast. And so you're going to actually enjoy this feast even more. I find that our discussions go even deeper and they're even richer. It's so much fun. And then all those books, I don't know. I'm sure that there are other mothers who do this. I keep a running list of all the great books that I love and I want to ensure that my children read. And usually a majority of them are like for when they're older. Well, guess what? Now they could start reading those books and having those adventures with you, you know, with all the richness of thought within those books. It's so much fun. So I want to just encourage you that there's so much goodness ahead. Instead of fear and worry, get excited. You're going to be amazed what God is going to do. And, you know, again, remember that it's the Holy Spirit who is the supreme educator for your child and for you. And so you don't have to worry. He has it. He has everything in control. And you're just going to enjoy the ride, really. I just feel like I'm just enjoying the ride as they narrate to me and as I read the written narrations and as we discuss.
I hear that so often from homeschool families. I think our culture teaches us to be fearful of the teenage years. But when you've laid that groundwork of connection and you've nurtured those relationships over time, the teenage years are really when you get to see the fruit of all of that investment that you've made. So that's exactly. Not something we have to be scared about.
Definitely. And not just in terms of like their school subjects, but also their character and, you know, their own habits. It's amazing.
Another question we got was about culture and how we can guide our children. There are so many pressures coming at them from the world, from society at large. There's a lot of negativity out there. How have you helped your children navigate that as they get older and deal with those kind of pressures?
That's a very good question. I think the idea right now is that we're living in one of the darkest times and the future looks bleak. And I love the encouragement that I've been seeing a lot from moms saying, you know, that the Lord is sovereign and He has us living and our children growing up in such a time as this. And so we could trust Him to be able to equip them and give them the discernment that they need. And I think as parents, we have been given the duty and the task by the Lord to disciple. And what does that mean? So again, being very intentional with what we fill our days with. One of the things that we do in our home is my husband actually does do discipleship, Bible study with our children. So that was something that he and I sat down and talked about that we would like to ensure that we have in our home. So wonderful way to get daddy involved if he can't be there at home. Like my husband is not home for most of the day. But like in the evenings after dinner, he would take maybe our two older ones. Usually he takes our two older ones together and then the younger ones separately, and just have a Bible study time together. And what they do is they meditate on together the passage of scripture that he will be preaching in the upcoming Sunday. And so that's where he gets a lot of his good ideas. He gets it from our children. So we're very intentional about that. Of course, we have our Bible lessons. The key, though, is from very early, one of my prayers to the Lord was for him to help me to just have my finger on the pulse of my children's hearts, to be sensitive to when their hearts are beginning to close towards me or their dad. I pray that my children will always have an open and soft heart towards me and towards their father, because I think that translates very naturally when they meet the Lord as their savior and as their, you know, their personal Lord and Savior, that will translate easily to having a soft heart towards God. And because, you know, we are the first ambassadors of Christ to our children. And so I work hard at maintaining that, you know, making sure that nothing is causing their hearts to close up towards me, because once their heart begins to close or is closed towards us, they're not going to want to talk to us about the things that are burdening them, the questions they have, the confusion that they might be having with some of the cultural, societal pressures and issues that we face today and that they face in magnitude these days. So we've definitely made it a priority to ensure at the end of every day, or even just if you notice it during the day in a moment, just stopping everything and ensuring that you have that conversation so those scabs don't begin to close over, and just have that one-on-one conversation and let them feel like you are hearing them, that you are not talking at them, but you are letting them speak from their heart to you. And then whatever they share, that you're holding it with honor, you know, with sensitivity, that it is valuable. And then, because when their hearts are open to us, we're able to guide them. We're able to, and I do believe that parents need to guide. I'm not of the opinion that we just let them find their own way. I don't think that's what discipleship is. I don't think that is what God has called us to as parents when he gave us the mantle as parents. So we do need to guide them, but their hearts have to be open to us first in order for them to be able to receive our words. And I pray that my words are with compassion and wisdom and tact. I pray for the timing of my words as well. And we don't shy away from the hard topics. In fact, I believe that it is important for us as parents to be the first persons in their lives to bring up these hard topics. I don't want my kids to hear about these hard issues from somebody else, and definitely not from media, you know, definitely not from Hollywood. I want them to hear them first from mom and dad. And that way they know that there's nothing that they can't talk about with us, and that they're safe to share their questions with us, questions about God, questions about faith, questions about the word of God and what he is saying, which, you know, is oftentimes clashing and in opposition with what is going on in the world today. And so this is something that we try to ensure we do as well. So I would say, though, I can't give ages. Like, at this age, you bring up the topic of homosexuality. At this age, you bring up the topic of abortion. I can't say, because with every child, you know, seeing my four children, their sensitivities are different. So with one child, I may need to bring it up sooner. With another child, I may need to bring it up later. But I will say that my younger ones, you know, because they have older siblings, they're able to, and they need to probably learn a little bit sooner than my older ones, because of the fact that they have older siblings. And so they come across these topics and issues more often. Another thing that I will say, and this comes from me being a pastor's wife, I guess, is the importance of your children being plugged into your youth group. You know, I have heard that there have been a lot of problems also within, you know, youth groups, but work with your youth pastor then and, you know, pray for him, pray with him or her, and, you know, really get involved, volunteer, and see if you could help. Don't just write off what's going on in your youth group, in your local church, but, you know, work with them in seeing that there is teaching on apologetics, for example. Like in our youth group, that was something that we had set up, was making sure that there are teachings on apologetics. Our youth go to an annual apologetics conference. It's called Stand to Reason. I'm giving all these resources. Mm-hmm. It's called Stand to Reason. And actually, they went last year for the first time when we decided it's got to be an annual thing for our youth group. And all of our youth teachers also went, who are also parents and grandparents. And it was phenomenal. So do look into things like that. And I think going to those kinds of large gatherings of teenagers is also very uplifting and empowering for our youth to know that they're not the only ones. They may feel like that in their own schools. Most of the children in our church are public schooled. And, you know, oftentimes they speak about them feeling like they're the only Christians in their schools. But going and taking them to places like that and having them involved with their youth group makes them see that they're not alone. God is on the move, and get them excited with what God is doing right now. Even if they can't see it in their own school, God is doing great things. So all of those factors together, I think, play a part in ensuring that our children are as equipped as God is giving us the grace to be able to equip them during this age. And then lastly, I just want to encourage again that it's not all on your shoulders. It's, you know, remember that, you know, God is the one who is directing their steps, and he is the one who is writing their stories. He is the one who already has a plan for their lives and knows how their lives fit into his grand story. And so, you know, we do our part with diligence. We do our part seeking the Lord for wisdom, but remember that, you know, they are his, and he is going to continue to speak into their lives. The most important thing that you and I could do is to continue to pray and fast for our children and for their whole generation. One of the greatest gifts that you could give your children is to invest in other children. So as you pray and fast for your children, pray and fast for all the children that the Lord has given in your area to your knowledge. And then, of course, pray for their whole generation. But our kids are not the only kids who are going to be part of God's army, or I hope revival in the future, right? It takes all of the children in our village. And so as much as possible, pour yourself also into the children of your church, the youth of your church, and ensure that together with their parents, you are pouring into them the word of the Lord, pouring into them the vision of God and what he has called them to for this age. Because we don't know actually who's going to be the next president from their generation. It might be somebody in your church. It might be one of your children. It might be somebody in your church. It might be somebody in your community. So one of the best gifts we can give them is to pour into all of the children in your sphere of influence, not just protecting our own. Does that make sense?
Yes, I love that vision of how we can be used by God in the coming generation. We don't need to hide ourselves away and be afraid. We have a role to play, and through our prayer, through God's leading, as we're involved in our local churches, there are so many good things happening that our children can be a part of. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for this rich conversation, Min. We'll be sure to link to all the resources that you mentioned in the show notes. If people would like to connect with you more, can you tell a little bit about some of the resources that you have to offer and where people can find you online?
Sure. So you could find me. I do have a website. It's minjunghuang.com, minjunghuang.com. It's just my full Korean name. it's not as active as I want it to be, but I do hope to write more there. There are some blog articles there that may be helpful to you if you are interested in exploring more of the Charlotte Mason philosophy and methods. There is also a membership It's a nonprofit membership community. We call ourselves Gospel Reliant Mothers, and we work on our spiritual disciplines together. We ensure that our spiritual disciplines are our habits. And the five main ones are what we are digging into, which is the date with Jesus, prayer and fasting. We pray and fast together for our children every Thursday, and for our spouses, our marriages as well. And then intense study of God's words and ways. We are reading currently Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology because we are our children's first theologians. We got to know our Bible. We got to know our stuff. And then we have service to others. And in there, we explore what God has called us to in this season of our lives right now. I love taking strategies and like goal setting, all of those types of strategies that large companies use. I love taking those and helping us implement that into our households, because I don't think there is a greater sphere or place or vocation than our own homes. Homes, number one. Our nuclear family is where it begins. So we do that for service to others. And then we will be implementing something called simple living. And that is really having an undivided heart, and what that means to have an undivided heart for the Lord, not just decluttering our homes, but decluttering our hearts. So that's what we do in Life-Giving Motherhood. You can find that at lifegivingmotherhood.org. We only open for new members twice a year, because we really like to go deep and get to know each mom. And then you can find me on Instagram at min.j.hwang, Min J Huang. Oh, and something new I started is an Etsy shop.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of, I'm putting myself out there because, as I mentioned earlier, I love to put scripture on everything. I love producing scripture art, and I was doing it for myself. I was doing it for our children. And a lot of my friends said, why don't you put it out there for everybody else? We need it too. So that's what I just started. I think I opened it like just a week or two ago. So you can find it at smallyetforever.etsy.com. There's not that much on there right now, but I plan to add more as I create more. And I do hope that it will encourage you and really help you to create the home atmosphere and the home culture that you desire, that's just blanketed and saturated with Christ and his living word.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today, Min. This has been really inspiring. I know it will be a big encouragement to all the moms and dads that are listening. So bless you, bless your family, and thank you again for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much, Min, for sharing your time with us today and for all of the resources and ideas and practical tips that you shared. If you would like links to any of the things Min mentioned today, be sure to visit the show notes page at homeschoolcompass.com/podcast. If you've been around here a while, you've probably noticed that these episodes don't release on a very regular schedule at the moment, but we do put a lot of care into these conversations and try to bring you really great guests who are going to inspire you to persevere in your homeschool days. So if you would like to be notified when our next episode releases, please do hit subscribe or follow in your podcast player, or you can follow the Homeschool Compass on Instagram to stay up to date with us. We would love to connect with you there. And of course, I say this every time, but it really does help if you tap those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts and write us a quick review. We're so grateful to each and every one of you for listening and for bringing us along on your homeschool journey. Until next time, remember, you are loved and you are not alone.